I think I said this last week, but this is just going to be a wee bit different today. Same, not the same as last week, but 2 weeks kind of different, because we're going to do a wee bit of kind of looking back and a bit of looking forward with this. So just so I can kind of gauge, right? So, let me just say this first of all. So this is the first Sunday in March, right? So 3 years ago today, effectively, Sunday the 1st of March, I stood here and I gave a review of 2019 about our church, how we had, the things we'd done and how God had blessed us and the amazing thing we've seen God doing. And also, after the review, I declared a vision for 2020. And there was so much for us to celebrate and be thankful for. Our church was growing. We were talking about and praying for revival, right? And we really sensed that something was about to happen. And little did we know that 2 weeks after that service, we'd go into lockdown and the church wouldn't be gathered for 18 months, you know. So I want to just talk a bit about that. I'm not going to talk about the pandemic, right? So everybody relax, okay? Right? We're not talking about that again, right? But, you know, I need to kind of reach back a bit to bring context to what I'm going to talk about this morning. But just to gauge something, so 3 years ago today, right, who would have been part of our church at that time? Just raise your hand if you would have been, so kind of pre-pandemic. Okay, now that's interesting, because that's not a large number. If you joined our church during or post-pandemic, would you raise your hand? So it's at least 50-50, if not slightly in favour of people joining during and after the pandemic. And the reason I want to do that, some of the things I'm going to say will be looking back. For some of you, it'll be things you remember, and for others, this is stuff you don't know. So I'll give you a bit of background to where we were at 3 years ago. But also, so much has changed over the past 3 years. Churches have seen an incredible turnover in people through the pandemic, coming back after lockdown. You know, we had a number of people who left us, and we had, as we can see, a whole load of people who joined us, you know, and it was like it felt like we had a lot of turnover of people at that time. And again, talking to other church leaders locally and nationally, there was very much a similar experience. And generally speaking as well, church attendance was about two-thirds, roughly, of what it was post-pandemic to pre-pandemic. So, when I look back at what we were talking about 3 years ago, the vision that we had for 2020, it felt like it was wiped out in an instant. It was just like everything we planned, everything we'd put in place, just stopped. And the reality is it never happened. But it's not really that specifically I want to talk about today. Amongst all the joy and thankfulness of that Sunday 3 years ago, as we reflected back on 2019, which was an amazing year for us. Church was growing. We launched Love Falkirk that year. Did you know that? We transitioned from what was called Storehouse, and then we rebranded to Love Falkirk. That was just 3 years, well, 3.5 years ago. So much had happened. But amongst all the joy and the thankfulness and the good stuff that I spoke about that Sunday 3 years ago, I also spoke about our financial situation. So those of you that are around at that time may remember that wasn't the most positive part of my talk that morning. We had at the time excess money in the bank, but we also had a reality where we were spending more than we were bringing in each month. And therefore, we'd have to make some significant financial adjustments to make sure that we kept ourselves on the right side of the red line. And our trustees did a full and comprehensive review of every pound and penny, and we managed to make some good decisions, good business decisions, and reduced a lot of our costs significantly. But even after we did that, we had a situation, the reality of our situation was that our largest overhead was our staff costs. And at that time, we had 4 employees. So we had Ash, who's our administrator and still is. Myself and Lorraine were both employed as senior pastors, and Kenny was employed as our associate pastor. So we had Ash doing our admin, and we had a three-person pastoral team working and being paid for by the church. And the reality was that if we were to balance the books, it was clear that we were going to have to make difficult decisions regarding our staff team. And I don't want to go into all the detail of what that entailed. That's not so important. But just to say, it wasn't our greatest moment. It wasn't our greatest moment. It wasn't an enjoyable moment in the slightest. So I don't really want to go over all the detail of that. But one positive kind of that we had at that was that because of the pandemic, our spending was significantly reduced because we weren't doing anything physically. So we weren't renting space anywhere. A lot of the stuff that we would invest money in, so like we weren't sending, there was no DTI, that's our youth annual youth festival with Vineyard, so we didn't spend that money. No one was going to conferences, so we had a lot of saving during that year with the pandemic, or year and a half of the pandemic, because we couldn't actually spend money on stuff. And also, our income didn't go down during the pandemic. In fact, there was a short period where I actually had an increase in income, which was incredible when you consider the financial impact that the pandemic had on so many of our people at that time. So the reality was that we were spending less and our income remained pretty much consistent. It certainly didn't go down. And therefore, the good news about that was that allowed us to defer having to deal with our staffing costs and our staffing situation at that point. And we actually got through the whole 18 months of lockdown, the 18 months of online church. And we managed to keep our staff team intact. And that, I would suggest, was pretty much a miracle. I was turning up to trustees meetings and we had money in the bank and really we were struggling to kind of work out why we still were wiping our feet at the end of every month. It was like incredible. We're paying all the wages. We're still getting through this. And we really felt that God was providing us almost in a feeding of the 5,000 kind of way. We were just giving God what we had and it felt like the money jar was never going empty. It was just incredible. And it was really important that we kept our staff team, our pastoral team together because when we went online, we were actually, Kenny, myself, Lorraine, were actually much busier during that time than we'd ever been before. Kenny pretty much became our full-time director, editor, producer, online, everything at that time. I think it was pretty much 5 days a week, Kenny, wasn't it? Like, it was just constant, because everything, all our output was, like, online. And we made full use of Kenny's film and media degree from Stirling University back in the day. Made full use of that. So in amongst this, like, difficult time, there was real blessing there, because God allowed us to keep our team together and get through that really tricky part. But that was all well and good, but we did eventually have to face up to dealing with our staff overheads. And eventually, in September 2021, Lorraine and Kenny both stepped away from their paid roles at Falkirk Vineyard. I remained on staff, and we still have Ash as our administrator. And Lorraine took up a full-time job at DWP, being a work coach, helping people get back into work. And then Kenny found work with two jobs. Working part-time for WTC, which is where Kenny's currently doing his Master's in Kingdom Theology, which we're proud of and delighted about. And also he went back to a place he worked before for 2 days a week called Butterfly Trust. So they managed to kind of balance themselves out financially. The process, though, of Lorraine and Kenny leaving these paid roles was long and arduous. It was painful, it was chastening, it took its toll emotionally on all of us who were directly involved, as in the three of us on the team, the pastoral team, but also it had a very it was very difficult for our board of trustees, and it was very difficult for our leadership team. Because what we have when we're running the process of church, and behind the scenes, and one of the things that we don't like to do in our church is to kind of put up front what's the mechanisms that goes on behind the scenes. But I feel like sometimes it's good just to let you know that our trustees are also friends and fully bought in spiritually and emotionally and physically into the vision that God has given this church. We have a leadership team who are bought in emotionally, spiritually, and physically into the vision of this church. Because church isn't a business. It's not a business where people can just come and go. When you're in a job, people leave and you buy them flowers and off they go. When people leave your church, it's heartbreaking. The church leaders never, even when people leave well to go on and do other things, and we bless them as they extend into the kingdom of God, watching them leave really go. When people leave because they're upset with us, it's difficult because we don't want that. We want to maintain relationship and that we want to bless everyone that moves on. But church isn't a business. It's not just an organization. It's not just a functioning thing. The church is our life. The church is our life. And for those of us who lead, whether it be as pastors, whether it be leadership team, whether it be as trustees looking after our business side, whether it's small group leaders, kids team, worship, the guys, the sound, and the media, the teas and coffees, the Love Falkirk guys, the mainly music guys, these guys, this is what we do. We are invested spiritually, emotionally, and physically into what the Lord has called us to do. It's our life. And although we were making pragmatic and sensible adjustments to straighten out the finances, we were also affecting the lives and livelihoods of our friends and in some cases our family. And without question, for me personally, that was the toughest season, I think, not only in my ministry, but I would say that's the toughest season I've had in my life. I've thought about this. That sounds really dramatic, but I think it was, in fact, it was definitively the toughest season in my whole life. And there's still things kind of drag on from that time as well. They still kind of stick, and I'm still working through that. And you know, but we want to move forward. We don't want that stuff kind of hanging about, and that sort of thing. But yeah, but difficult time. So again, try not to dwell too much on negative here, but it was really hard. And those of us that were kind of in the middle of all that, it was really, really, really tough. You don't want to tell one of your best friends, you know. It's not easy telling one of your best friends that you're going to have to lose your job. It's not easy to have the conversations with your wife, who's harnessed to me in the leadership of the church, to say, it's either you or me. Like, that stuff's really hard. But we believe in the one who called us, right? Yeah. We believe in the one who called us. And we're still here. Yeah. We're still standing. Our church is still growing. Yeah? We're still here. Yeah. So anyway, so that's a... I don't know what you're laughing at. Is there something on the screen behind me? No. Was that? You're nervous, okay. So anyway, so that's just a very, very short summary of what happened at that time. And I could say more about it. And if anyone wants me to expand on that at any time, happy to have that discussion. There's nothing hidden. It's all transparent about our reasoning and how we got there. But my reason really for sharing that with you this morning isn't to upset those that were involved, but really to tee up something that's far more positive. First of all, I want to say that during that time, our finances were never in the red. The purpose of taking the action that we did was to avert a financial crisis, and we did that. We've never been in debt. We've never been on the wrong side of the red line. And we never had a financial crisis because we stopped it happening. And our board of trustees did an amazing job to make sure that that was done timely, sensitively, and correctly through the whole process. So where are we now? Well, our financial year runs from October to September. So our financial year, last one ended in September 2022. And at the end of our last financial year, in September 22, we comfortably covered all our costs. All our spending was within budget. We gave away 15% of our income, our church income, to bless and support others locally, nationally, internationally. That's something we do every year. So anything that comes into us, whether it's the tithes and offerings from you guys, the gifted, we get on top of that, we take 15% of that and we give it away. We just carve it off because we want to bless the kingdom of God. So we'd paid all our stuff, we'd given our 15% tithe away as we do, and after that we had a surplus of cash in the bank. Okay, that's good, right? Everybody wants to get the end of the year, the end of the month, and have money in the bank. Can I just honour our board of trustees, guys? They're really unseen. We have an interesting way that we do our trustees meetings. We get together and we pray. It's the first thing we do. And we talk business, but we talk about like what does God want? It's quite hard when you're looking at finances and looking at insurance and all the legal structures. And you think, what does God want us to do in this? But it works. We bring the Lord. He's on our board of trustees. He's our main guy. In fact, if you are running any kind of organization, you need a board of trustees. Jesus is the best trustee that I've ever worked with. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's the best chairperson, the best secretary, the best treasurer. He's brilliant. He knows what he's doing. And we're thankful that he's on our board, right? But our trustees are incredible. So we've ended up last year with a surplus of cash. So then the question is, it's a different question from a couple of years ago. It's now it is, what are we going to do with that money? And one of the key things, or the most significant things that happened when Lorraine and Kenny stepped away from their paid roles was that much of the stuff that they were doing just stopped. It just stopped. Now, you may have noticed that, or you may not have noticed that, but I've noticed it. Someone pointed out to me quite some time ago that I hadn't even thought about this, that when we reduced our pastoral team from 3 to 1, I was trying to do the job of 3 people. I hadn't really thought of that. So, you know, so obviously things were going to stop. But some key things really just ended when these guys came off staff. So for Lorraine, it was, for those of us that were around at the time, Lorraine and Shanna had went through a year of doing the Encounter School of Ministry with Causeway Coast Vineyard, learning and growing deeper in the prophetic and street mission, sharing the gospel, like in those areas that we don't want to do it, which is outside of our comfort zone. They were big in that. And Lorraine was really on a track there with the street ministry. She had a prophetic team. She was going towards kind of growing a kind of intercessory prayer culture in our church. And that stuff all just stopped. And then the other thing that we lost was from Kenny's side of thing. One of the main parts of Kenny's role as our associate pastor was to head up the preaching and teaching in our church. And he would create our teaching programs. And we had a preaching cohort of 4. And you remember, you used to see a lot more people preaching on a Sunday than me, right? So, amen, the church says, we get me back to those days. And really, what we've looked at these things that had stopped. And I want us to breathe life back into those things again, because I don't believe those things are dead. I don't believe they're dead. We want Lorraine to get stuck into the things where our gifting is, where our gifting's apparent and where it's strong. Thankfully, Lorraine's, she's in kids' church today, so she can sit here and I can talk about her without her being embarrassed. But Lorraine has a real gifting in the prophetic of hearing and acting on the prompting of the Holy Spirit. She's gifted at sharing her faith boldly and fearlessly. She's good at recognizing the talent and gifts of others and calling it out and drawing it out. She's talented at developing and equipping others to live in their God-given identity, devoting themselves to the Father and be effective workers in the kingdom of God. So in order to breathe life back into that gifting and that talent and that call in Lorraine's life, that we are, with immediate effect, going to employ Lorraine for one day a week. To do that. And give me that first slide. So we've been very... Back. Yo, so we've given Lorraine a really tight job description. I'm not going to read all that through, but very much created a job role that she'll concentrate on one day a week to focus on the things that God has called her into and focused on. Just let you get a quick read of that. And also what we've done is we've employed Lorraine on a fixed term contract. So what we're doing is we're using the money we have in the bank. We're not projecting forward. So Lorraine will be in a fixed term contract because we have enough funds to pay her for 12 months. And then we'll review that at a later point. So because we've gotten a fixed term contract, we've also set her goals to achieve, which she's loving. So... No, you're too fast. Is there not another one? It says goals. No. I'm trying to keep my powder dry, but you're... There we go. Right, so this is what we want Lorraine to do. So we want her to establish that outreach and street ministries team that she was working on before she stepped away from her paid role. We want her to re-establish a prophetic and prayer intercessory team. We need that in our church, guys. We need prayer. We need to be underpinned by prayer. Also, not just to establish a team, but to develop an opportunity and like a pathway for people to get into all these ministries. And also, along with myself, you know, we want to really get our foot in the pedal about raising up more small group leaders. One of the things we want to do is our leadership team have constantly been leading small groups for 10 years. And what we really want to do is get these guys to step back, creating space for new leaders to come in and let these guys be an incredible support in the small groups. Yeah? So Lorraine and I are going to work on that as well. Okay, are we cool with that? Are we cool with that? Okay. For Kenny, then... Kenny is here, so he is going to be embarrassed. But Kenny is a brilliant theologian, right? Yeah. We know that. He's a brilliant theologian, and he's a great teacher of the scriptures. And what we want him to do is to reassemble our preaching cohort, to write and construct preaching programs that will teach and equip you to know and understand more deeply the Word of God. We want to give them the space to create a church that are hearers and doers of the word. Also, to give them space where he can recognize and give opportunity to those that have a talent and a calling to teach and preach the scriptures. So we are also employing Kenny for one day a week. So Kenny's job description is also nothing that wouldn't be expected there, but you can see it looks a lot, but he can hack it. He can hack it. Right, we've got full faith in him. But guys, can I just say, Kenny, I know you don't like being embarrassed, but I just want to say, like, we've got a we've got a gift here that we're currently not using. Right? We've got a gift here we're currently not using. And we've used them well in the past, and it's time to do it again. Time to do it again. Okay. Okay, here's Kenny's goals for the next 12 months. So same thing, fixed term, 12-month contract. I'll tell you what, Eden, we're not employing you on the media. That's all right. It's my son-in-law. It's my son-in-law, I can say it. was that too harsh? Sorry, man. Okay. Okay. Sorry, you're on strike now. I'm done. The biggest change here is, and guys, I need you to hear this, when Kenny was our associate pastor, he was a jack of all trades. Like, he did so many things, but we want him to be absolutely laser focused on teaching and preaching and training so that we can learn the scriptures from him. So much tighter, this one, establish a preaching cohort. We want a team that are going to go deep and bring teaching to the church. Also, again, a pathway for others to get into that, identifying, so that we're not just what we had as a four. We want to make it so there's an open door that people can come through, be part of that. And also, by the end of the 12 months, that we'll have an 18-month teaching program ahead of that as well, which we did previously have. I think we're about 18 months ahead, pretty much. So this is all stuff that Kenny is highly qualified in, and I'm really excited about doing this again and to learn again from what Kenny has taught me over the years. So the way this is going to work, Lorraine will be starting immediately, and Kenny will start recommencing the 3rd of April. So he has to give 4 weeks' notice to one of his employers. So is that good news, guys? Yeah. I'll be cool with that. Be good. And you know, and I think as well, I think as a board of trustees, and I think as a leadership team as well, that we see here that when we have this excess money at the year, that this is a good way to sit and decide how we're going to do it. Where do we want to grow? Where do we want to put our money? What ministry do we want to put it into? Where do we feel that God is speaking? And we can look at that and say, okay, this year we're going to put it into that. Yeah? And I think out of the ashes of those difficult times, I feel that God has given us something new, a new way of looking at things, and I feel really positive about the direction of travel. So just as a close, we've not really had any Bible this morning. That's Kenny's job. But here, guys, can I encourage you, right? I'm going to presume that we all read the Bible because we love Jesus and he instructed us implicitly to do it. But I've really sensed that it was really just this morning, like I was thinking about this, but this morning I felt the Lord saying this, that we need as a church, and I don't know if we'll necessarily teach on this, we might, but guys, I'd really like to encourage you to read the book of Ephesians. To read Ephesians, right? And really read it. And ask questions, like come to me, Kenny, Lorraine, anyone, just talk about it, because there's so much gold in there about what God has called us and designed us to be, how we function as a living body, as the living body of the Church of Jesus Christ. And let me just read a few verses in Ephesians 4. And this is really what we are emphasizing here today. So in Ephesians 4, Paul writes this. He says, "These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers." That's commonly known as a five-fold ministry. We might actually teach in that. It'd be good. But one thing I just want to say before I read on is that these are roles that God can give. He can give almost like superpower gifting to people, and that becomes your role. But what I want to tell you guys is that you can operate apostolically, you can operate prophetically, you can operate evangelically, you can operate pastorally, and you can operate as a teacher in any given circumstance. Yeah? Right? We can all do that. But these leaders, is what he's listing here, their responsibility is to equip God's people to his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Guys, never has there been a time, certainly not in my lifetime, where the church needs built up. Built up. We have been absolutely hammered through the pandemic, and now we're fighting with a social ideology that has got nothing to do with Jesus. So we have to build the church up. Church needs to get its voice and be the body of Christ. And Paul goes on to say, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That's a good goal. You should maybe add that to the two goals for the guys. That's what we want to do, isn't it? Measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be like immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Does that not sound like our world today? Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Does that not just make you want to read the whole book? Yeah. Right? It's fantastic. Guys, these amazing words and teaching are hidden in plain sight in your Bible. They're there for you to access, to read, believe, let it go deep, understand, talk about it, ask questions, and live it out. Live it out. Because that's who we are. That's who we are. And then finally, my final encouragement to you is this. Now, pick a day to do this, and I've only got, I think, there's only five of us from the leadership team in the room. So Andrew and Jasmine are away. I think they're celebrating belatedly celebrating their 10th wedding anniversary. And Ryan and Lorraine are in Kids Church serving. But I just want to say this quickly as a close. Our leadership team they turn up and do whatever we ask of them, regardless of what is going on in their lives. During the time I'm talking about, that 3 years, or even in just the past year and a half, you may or may not be aware, but every single one of our leadership team has taken a hard hit, like a big broadside that's derailed them a bit, knocked the course of their life off path, become really difficult in so many, many ways. But I'm going to ask you a question. Can you ever remember a time they were absent? Can you ever remember a time they didn't serve? Can you ever remember a time they weren't available? So, guys, I'm just saying this because I think it's important that we honour those in leadership. Hebrews 13:17 says this, "Be responsible to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God." Here's the key. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Would you want to make things harder for them? So guys, all I'm saying here is that our leadership team, I watch them on a Sunday, and they are always encouraging, even when they're the ones that need encouragement. They're always the ones who are praying for someone else when they're the ones that need prayer. They're the ones who show up when they would rather be somewhere else. They're the ones who listen to your problems when they've got enough on their plate to deal with their own problems. And guys, I just want to, not to make a big spectacle of that, but would you just remember that and just encourage those in leadership. In your small group as well, like show gratitude for your small group leaders. Like, as they come prepared every week, pray for them, encourage them, thank them. You know, the guys that lead your kids, if you've got kids, thank the guys that have been on kids this morning. Thank you, Eric, for doing the sound. Thank you, Ethan, sorry, but thank you. Thank you for being a great media presenter for us and a great dad to my grandson. Right, so I feel I wound that back there okay, didn't I? But guys, we've always had a culture in our church of honouring people and recognising people and blessing them, and we want to build each other up, right?